There is a problem, apparently some less benevolent aliens would like to take over this planet.
We never forget him waving that stump of a right arm in our face, you know, saying it had to be spontaneous human combustion, it couldn't have been anything else.
I told my husband, I said, you've got to turn around. It sounds just like a chupacabra.
I'd heard about this guy who drilled a hole in his head.
What the heck is going on? Who are these elves?
A voice said to me that I had a choice and I could step through into the other world.
You want to reclaim your mind.
Constructed between your mind, your spirit, and your spirit guides, and the sound, the hypnotic sound, your vehicle will be constructed and delivered to you promptly. And I'll be your guide. I'll be your guide. Hi, I'm your driver, Helios Creed. Yes, where would you like to go?
Welcome to Lucifer Over Los Angeles. I'm Aaliyah. That just then speaking was Helios Creed from the band Chrome, everybody's favorite industrial acid punk psychedelic band, formed in the Bay Area in the mid-70s and still going today. I talked to Helios Creed from Chrome about a month ago. We probably talked for about 3 hours, actually, because he could definitely talk, and he's a very entertaining guy. Chrome's taken a number of forms. First formed by Damon Edge in San Francisco in the mid-70s, who put out the first album, The Visitation, in 1977. Then Helios Creed joined the band. They had this prolific period. Then Damon sort of kicked Helios out of the band in the 80s. And in the interview, he sort of talks about some of Damon's motivations for that, maybe, including the influence of this somewhat Yoko-esque character, the musician Fabian Shine, who was Damon's girlfriend at the time. Then Damon died, and so following his death, it's back in Helios' hands. And Chrome has a new album out this year, Techromancy. You should listen to it. I'm going to play some of the tracks from that on the show, as well as a bunch of their older stuff. I'm also going to play some excerpts of an interview with Damon Edge from 1981, which is a bonus track off the Chrome box set. And it was done by this Australian DJ called Tony Barrell. And I don't even know where it played at the time, but it's pretty cool. You can find the rest of the track list on the NTS site, Lucifer Over Los Angeles. This playing now is Nova Feedback, which is off Alien Soundtracks, the first album that Helios and Damon made together as Chrome in 1978. So I'm going to play the interview now. Here, Helios starts off by talking about being a teenager in Hawaii and then moving to the Bay Area and how he came to meet Damon and join Chrome.
When I was young, about 14 years old, my stepdad was a chief in the Navy, and we got transferred to Hawaii, and I was so excited. I always wanted to see Hawaii, you know. And actually, I was still in school, so, well, they left Hawaii when I was like 18. They moved back to the mainland, and I stayed there because I didn't want to go back to the mainland. I loved Hawaii, you know. I had a girlfriend and everything, a band, and all the bands that I liked showed up in Hawaii. You know, I thought it would be like that forever, but it didn't stay really cool because, you know, cultures changed, and I had the feeling I had to go back. I had to go to California to make a band, and everybody was telling me to go to L.A., but my brain and my heart was telling me to go to the Bay Area to make this band. But everybody, oh, no, no, don't go to the Bay Area. Don't go to San Francisco. I go, no, but I want to make a psychedelic. Oh, no, that's over, this whole psychedelic thing. You know, that's square. That's over. Oh, no, it's not square. It's not over. It just went underground. It will never be over. That's what I told them. Now, I defended my cause, you know, all the time. And this was way before Chrome, you know, I was just a kid. I was like 18, you know, and people go, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when you grow up? I'm going to play space rock. You know what I mean? Space rock. That's cool. You know, I used to get that all the time. They thought that was cool because that just really long, beautiful blonde hair. It was like an angel, you know. Very amazing. I don't have that anymore. You know, it's kind of stringy and old looking. But getting back to my point, I really didn't know what I was doing. I just had the vibe to go to the Bay Area. Well, anyway, I went to San Francisco and I got myself a room at the New Rex Hotel. And that's where I met friends that introduced me to Damon. Actually, I was doing folk music with a guy named Gary Spain. And he said he was playing in this band. And I didn't know anybody really playing in a band at the time because rock was pretty much at ebb tide, you know. I call it ebb tide, you know, sort of like it is now. It was about 75, early 76, maybe, late 75. I was playing in bars and pubs, sometimes acoustic, sometimes electric by myself. And sometimes I'd have Gary on violin. And he said he was a bass player. He played with this band, Chrome. And I go, what do you guys do? And he goes, oh, we play kind of psychedelic music. I go, really? Cool. I got to hear you, you know, because I didn't know anybody. Everybody that at that time wanted to play blues. And I wasn't really interested in that, you know. Which was refreshing to hear anything besides that, you know? And then I talked to Gary a couple months later, and he said that everybody quit the band because they made a record and the record totally flopped, and Mike quit, the singer, and John quit because he had a drug problem. And there was just, well, there was just Gary, John, and Damon, but John was fading. And they needed a singer guitar player. And I said, I'd audition. And so I met Damon at a place called New Riviera Hotel. Somebody knocks on the door, and there's this guy there with white shades, you know, and a white sports coat and long stringy hair down to his shoulders. And he goes, "Hi, are you Helios?" And I go, "Yeah, you must be Damon." I go, "Come on in." Now, we sort of took to each other right away for some reason, you know. He goes, "You play guitar?" And I go, "Yeah, yeah." "And you must be the, you know, the man of Chrome." "Yeah." He has sort of a low, gravelly voice, you know. And I think the coolest thing of all, we became instant buddies right away. That was really cool. So I went to the audition, you know, I went to audition, with Gary, Damon, and John and Mike. And John and Mike were just about ready to flake out anyway. And I didn't really know what to wear, you know. I was really very young. I was like just got into my 20s. And so I showed up wearing a cape and a Renaissance shirt, like from the Renaissance fair, you know, circus clothes, you know. And they're all talking together, you know. I don't know if he fits the image, man. Not that they even had an image, but, you know, if they did, I probably wouldn't fit it. Yeah, well, anyway, everybody did quit. They all took off, and it was just me and Damon, which was perfect, you know what I mean? Because I played bass and guitar and sang, you know, and he played drums, keyboards, and sang. And so together we can make a record, you know what I mean? That's a lot of it right there.
For me, I was always sort of inspired. One of the periods that I like besides the psychedelic movement and some classical movements was the surrealistic movement. And I was reading an article about the Shah of Iran in 1930, who had commissioned a Paris Deco artist to invent air conditioning for his car. And that's how air conditioning was invented, because the Shah wanted air conditioning. So after that, he was so impressed. He said, "Well, build me this really far-out mansion." So he said, "Okay." And the guy stuck a lot of chrome in it. And I was just in a doctor's office. I was looking in the magazine, and it just seemed to sort of give me a sense of design chrome. It seemed to... the metal itself is very high class. It's very stated, it's very minimal, and it has something deeper about it too, you know, reflects.
Damon was really hip. I really dug Damon. I really learned a lot from Damon, you know. He was just a real unique person, I feel. He had a really unique upbringing. He went through art college in L.A. He was adopted with rich parents. I asked him what that was like, and he said it was cold. He didn't trust people. He didn't even really trust me at the end of the day. You know what I mean? He had a problem with girls. He couldn't stay loyal to one girl, and then he didn't trust girls, and he was all messed up. Poor guy. It's too bad, you know, really, really. And when I met him, he would even do drugs. You know, I thought, well, this is a man that's going to last forever. Until I saw what happened to him when he met a girl that he liked. You know, it was like really, got really weird. You know, like he met a girl he liked. He met this girl, take for example, and he was with this other girl. And he wanted to leave this other girl to be with this other girl, which he did. And then, but he was in between girls and he was insecure. And so he called me from this phone booth. He goes, Helios. I go, what, Damon? I got razor blades in my hand. I go, what are you talking about? I go, I'm thinking about killing myself. I go, why? He goes, well, I feel insecure. I left Amy, and I want to get with Allegra, but all of a sudden I feel insecure. I go, you're an idiot, man. Why don't you come over, man? You know, let's have a few beers or something and make some music, you know. See, that was the first time I saw how he was with girls. Yeah, they were all warning signs because, yeah, girls sort of killed him, or he allowed the whole situation to kill him. He got into drugs and he used that as an excuse for him. I'm sure, because what he died doing pain pills and drinking and eating. And when you do that your mind tells you, oh, this is a good way to die. You know, I won't feel a lot of pain. I'll just doze off. And that's exactly what happened. But actually, it's just disgusting. I know it's not really cool. I mean, it's just sad, you know, and I can see how it could happen. I've been in some pretty depressed places and it just happens, you know. You get older and the scene changes and your relationships change, you know, and just all kinds of weird things happen in this world.
Cheats. Going off the map, going in the war. Don't know what I say, but I do know more. Cheating and sweeping, finding all the land. Oh yeah, I don't know what I can say, but I find. Oh, why am I leaving? I want to go there.
right around the time I joined the band, Damon was hustling. He knew the Mitchell brothers, who also were scandalous. They ended in a very scandalous way, right? Murder or whatever, blah, 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 and the other thing. Anyway, he was in with them, and he was making Alien soundtracks. It was actually meant to be. He had a contract to make a dance tape for the strippers. So he did make about maybe a little less than half of the record. And he went to play it for them guys. And he go, oh, this is too weird. This won't work, you know. It didn't have any beat, you know. You couldn't even dance to it. It was too weird, you know. I know what they want. You know, Red Exposure would have been more for that. It was just too early Chrome. And anyway, that's when I sort of got into the band, really. And we used that. We just added rock to it, you know, and mixed it up like a stew, and voila, Alien soundtracks. Me, Gary, and Damon, before they all flaked on us, were actually making a kind of a metal punk record, kind of a, I don't know, it's kind of good, but not as smoking as Alien soundtracks turned out to be. And after Gary took off with John and we had that tape left, we go, wow, it's kind of cool. But you know what? And Damon had some tapes that he made before I even joined the band. And I go, those tapes that we made are kind of cool. But you know what, Damon? I like the tapes that you guys made before I even got in the band better than what we did. He goes, what do you mean? I go, you know, that really crazy shit, you know, let's use some of that, mix it with, you know, with what we did with Gary and make a record. And he goes, yeah, that's a great idea. You know, like, yeah, like acid punk. Exactly. So like acid punk, you know, we even said it. We both were on the same page. It wasn't like one of us thought more than the other, you know. And so actually the song TV as Eyes, it's on Half Machine Lip Moves. That actually is a direct song, everything recorded from the set that we made with Gary, me, and Damon. That was like the oldest thing I ever did with Chrome, that song right there. I must have been like 20 years old or 21. And that we were listening to those tapes and go, that's cool. Damon goes, that's cool. Let's start the record out with that song. I go, really? You like that? I didn't even really like it that much. I go, it sounds kind of like kids in a garage. He goes, exactly.
Thank you.
We sort of accidentally, in America, I don't know about Europe, became the first industrial rock band, ironically, by a joke. We had an inside joke when we were making those first two records, Alien Soundtracks and Half Machine Lip Moves. We are industrial strength and toilet bowl cleaner music, you know. It was a joke, you know. I'm a very loyal psychedelic supporter, you know what I mean? And when psychedelic from the late 60s, the earliest 70s died, and, well, they actually got killed by the CIA because the movement was so huge and getting so huge, it was a threat to the government. So they thought they could kill it by killing the greatest artists of all time. But, you know, actually it just went underground, and I felt it was, you know, with Chrome, we could, you know, utilize what was being unutilized, but not, you know, in a hippie way, more in a industrial punk way, which never has been done before. And that was our idea, you know, like not with flowers, peace and love, more like industrial, acidic, peace and love or else. It really worked. That's the amazing thing, because it was just like one of those, you know, like, this is what we got to do. This is, I mean, I had an idea, you know, I had a flash. I mean, and we both had the flash around the same. This is what we got to do, like many bands do.
I, myself, and Helios, I can speak for him about this, is we were both heavily influenced by, you know, the psychedelic movement, you know.
Yeah.
We liked a lot of the ideas more than most of the realities, you know, but the ideas of exploration and tonal differences and getting kind of a aura about your music more than just a song, but creating sort of a real dimensional sort of 3D kind of space with music, you know, and to do that in terms of song and rock and roll, you know, seemed to have a really appealing power physically as well as you know, mentally, psychically, you know?
Right.
And that's sort of what we're doing, you know? I don't say we're trying, because we're doing it.
We got all the punk bands that are just busting their ass playing shows in the Bay Area. We got way bigger than them, and we didn't play one show. Like, within a year. And they all hated us. I wanted to play some shows, but Damon was agoraphobic. Obviously, he had some kind of stage fright, and really was frustrating for me and caused me a lot of anxiety, because I knew we were the most popular we probably ever were going to be. And if we were playing, we would have made tons of money. And he just wouldn't go out and play because he was agoraphobic and insecure and stage fright. And I'm just thinking, oh man, what am I going to do? You know, this is like, I'm not down with this, you know. But, you know, I finally talked him into doing a show in Frisco at the On Broadway, and we set it up. And God, it was like a 600-seater place, and it sold out. And we had a line still around the block, around the block. And then we did a show in Bologna, and it was just really an awesome show. It was just really great. I was really happy that we played. It just helped me out a lot, you know?
There was a guy in Bologna when we did this gig, and he said, you know, he's playing your records on the radio show, and this was like in 78. And he said, I got a call from this woman at a hospital, and she had recorded my show, and she was working in some sort of brain therapy or something, and she ran our music through a brain scanner, and it came out with brain waves like somebody had just been in a car wreck. And so he said, oh, that's really interesting. You know, he didn't know what to say. She called up the station, And so she called him back about a week later, because she had had this woman come in that was in a car wreck, and her brainwaves were the same as some song. I don't know what song it was. And she gave it to her. You know, she pumped some chrome into her after she'd been in this car wreck, and she got better. She got very soothed, got very calm and everything, you know. And I don't know what that means, but...
In the old school fashion, chrome is a message band. The words in the music are tied together and they're related, hopefully, and each record is connected to the final record, which I don't even know what final record will be, but they're all connected and they're leading to something, which I don't even know what it's leading to. That's the fun part for me, because that's the way I feel about it. And because of that old school way of looking at it, it makes it exciting for me. And I like to explain that to everybody, so maybe they could kind of look at it in that way and in a spiritual sort of way. Because it used to be a spiritual way of looking at records back in the 60s and early 70s, and that sort of went away. Although I think it's a natural way to look at music in general for humans, and it always has. Music has been a part of ceremonial things since music has been invented, you know, so we do use it for spiritual things, and why not go all the way? Like Jimmy did, you know, cast all your hang-ups over the side as you ride right over the love field sea. You know, that's totally message music. He's giving you a ride on some kind of vehicle. And that's where I got the idea. And that's the way the other side is. He's giving you a glimpse of the other side. It's instantaneous creation with your mind, which we don't really understand here. You do when you're in your sleep, you know, you could like, I have these weird dreams, you know, like, and I don't even carry them out. Like last night, I knew I was dreaming because I was half awake. And there was this guy, he just happened to be in my room and I couldn't stand him. And he's one of those guys, God, I could almost kill him if I could. Hey, wait a minute. I know this is a dream and I have a fucking hammer right here. Can I kill him in my dream? Would I get away with it? And I know he's not here because I just woke up and my room's empty. It's just me. And I could just doze off again and grab it. Oh, no, I won't do it. I'll probably get in trouble in my dream, you know? You know, knowing me, you know what I mean? Like, I'll get arrested in my dream and I won't be able to come back here, you know? I'm not even going to take any chances with that, you know? Maybe I'll kick him in the balls. I feel there is some really positive, good aliens here that are contract to help us and are working with us, and some of them are us. And it's a bunch of bullshit when they say they're not here to interfere like the Star Trek. It's all bullshit. Yeah, they're here to help, because if they don't do something, we're going to destroy ourselves. And they're desperately trying to help. And there's also some here that have been trying to that have successfully taken over a great part of the humanity society for hundreds of years. And now they're at a point where they pretty much dominate it, you know, and make slaves out of everybody. It's a real evil race. Yeah, the reptilian race. Us in the lower echelons of society don't come across them too much, but they're real good examples of, to me, we're their hosts totally. They're just vampires, you know. They just suck all our energy. They use us. Who knows, you know? If I was on a bigger level and I was bitching like I'm bitching about them on this last album, you know, we do have a real heavy statement about the whole thing. And if I was bigger, they'd probably kill me. Is this going to be on the radio? My talking, my jabbering? If it is, I do want to say something. I just want to say something to all those reptilian liar slave drivers. Your days are numbered, you motherfuckers. Your days are numbered. Yeah. Helios Creed says your days are numbered. And I'm not the one saying it. I'm just passing along the message. Santa Claus says he's going to help. No, it's true. Your days are numbered. I won't stand for it anymore. They do not clean their rooms. Another thing, you Sex Pocket Meister, that's a commercial for women in the future that are sick of men. They could purchase a Sex Pocket Meister for a certain amount of euros or dollars, and this thing will give them anything they want. You know, a romantic dinner, anything. I wanted to make a video commercial for it. So now that you know that, you listen to it, it's a commercial. So I wanted to finish the commercial for it and have it to the song, you know. And when the girl's screaming, she's screaming in ecstasy. She's not in any kind of pain, you know. That's the cool thing about Chrome, because nobody that sounds like they're in pain or anything, they're not. They're all in acidic ecstasy. Even the demons. You know, there's my phone microphone, and I like to put it even through more stuff, like phone through a fuzz tone through a wah-wah pedal, and then it just gets amazing. You won't even believe what it sounds like. Yes, it's going through a phone. It has that phone sound, but then you can put it in a frequency with the pedal, like way up in the left-hand corner at the top, if you know what I mean. You know what I mean? Like, where's that voice? Well, how did it get up there, you know? And it really does get up there. And it's amazing, you know? And all you need is these things. And you can really, it's almost like magic, you know, like Houdini puts things places in different and it's like you're putting things in different places with different frequencies, which I'm still exploring. And, of course, it takes money, props, and, you know, what I mean is things to hold things up so I could twist knobs. And people, when I knock it over, people will pick it up for me. Because I knock things over all the time, because if it's sounding really good, like, I get into it, you know. We don't dance on stage because it looks stupid. But sometimes I can't help it. I start moving and I knock shit over, you know. I'm not dancing. I'm just moving. I'm just like running around and acting crazy, you know, and I knock shit over, you know. I can't help it. Or I trip over a cord and fall flat on my face, you know. Oh, man, I made a fool out of myself in front of everybody. Oh, great. And everybody's laughing. They're all going to laugh at you. Remember that Carrie movie, What the Mother Said? They're all going to laugh at you. I think that every time I trip over a cord. They're all going to laugh at you. They're all laughing at me, Mom. you know, Damon has some issues, and I never held that against him, but I always knew what was going on. And I always called him on shit, too. But after a while, he took Chrome, and I wasn't in the band anymore. And I'm sure you remember that period, because he got so paranoid about me. He took off to Europe, and he didn't kick me out, but he just got new people, and all of a sudden I wasn't in the band. And so I said, fuck it. I was really mad. I broke every phone record I had. I wanted to kill him and all this shit. And it destroyed my marriage that I had at the time, because I went a little nutty, you know. Like, I had this really great band that I put my whole youth into, and it just disappeared like that. So what am I going to do? I made a solo band, and I worked really hard in that band, you know, and I actually got that solo band bigger than Chrome, you know, and I should be touring that band. I'd be making more money, but I don't know. I still love Chrome, and I want it to be back where it used to be and respected. And I don't think, because Damon's not in the band anymore, that the band's bullshit. Yeah. I still miss that guy. You know, it's been like fucking how long? 20 years? 1995 or something? That's a long time. Yeah. He was dead for a month, by the way, before they found him. I'm still trying to convince him I'm not that backstabber. I know that's the way he felt. That's the way he was brainwashed by Fabian, like I was going to be a backstabber and take everything, which wasn't true. And he even told me that. He goes, well, Fabian told me that, well, you're kind of taking over the band, that you're doing most of the vocals and you're writing most of the songs. And I go, well, there's a reason for that, Damon. You're not around and you told me to. And I'm not doing it because I'm trying to take over the band. I'm just trying to keep it going, you know, before it poof disappears. I think he started to believe that toward the end, like, you know, like maybe Ace isn't a backstabber, you know. You know, I was trying. You know, I knew it was beyond help, but I was going to try anyway. You know, you always do with a bro. And I go, that's why I need to see you, man. It's not just about the music, man. You're my brother. He goes, well, let's do it by mail. And I go, no, let's get together. Let's make it like we did in the old days. You know, let's see each other and you know, heal each other. And you know, we're older, you know, but let's, you know, let's grow older gracefully and make a great record, you know. And he goes, well, I don't really want you to see me. And I go, why? He goes, well, I'm like over 300 pounds. And I don't give a shit. You know, what do I care? I'm not going to go to bed with you. I'm going to make a record with you, you know. You know, I mean, and I'm going to help you with that, man. You know, I'm going to help straighten you up. And then 3 months later, he was dead. I found out. So he must have died 2 months later, and they found him 3 months later, and I found out then. It was from drinking and doing pain pills. He did it on purpose. He didn't want to live anymore. He was very suicidal. You know that record, Angel of the Cloud? That was the last stuff he did. Then he died. I wasn't finished. So I finished it and added more. I made an epitaph for him, musical epitaph, and from my point of view, you know, and actually his point of view was on there too, from the epitaph. And it had his point of view was a poem that said he was on another shore and he didn't want to see me no more.
Separated by the shore. Let's leave them alone. I don't want to see them anymore.
I've had a long life and a lot of experiences. Things are getting better now again. We're going to go on a U.S. tour, and we got a lot of stuff to put together. And I'm really happy with Tech Romancy. I think it's a great album. I can't wait to play it live and along with the classics again. And it's going to be a great tour. We're planning on coming back to Europe, too. We're going to play in your area in November. Like I said, we're sort of making a little comeback. Chrome hasn't been doing a lot in the last... You know, we made Feel It. We did a European tour for that, which the album wasn't out for that one either. Yeah, it's just kind of like the Butthole Surfers. They said... Their albums are never out for their tours. They said we never had anything in sync. Oh, you either, huh? But all in all, the albums do finally get out there and people finally discover them and hopefully they dig them, you know? And we're the first, and as far as I'm concerned, the one and only. You know what I mean? And that's why I made some Chrome records and I did some Chrome tours. And yeah, Damon isn't in the band. He's dead. I'm sorry, but I think it's better that I do this, but then not do it, because if I don't do it, there's going to be a lot of Chromes out there that aren't Chrome that don't have Damon in the band either, but it won't have me in the band either. So I think it's a sacred word, and I don't want it to be abused. Chrome, it's going to be fucking psychedelic. It's going to be industrial. It's going to be acidic. Man, it's going to be crazy. But through all that, I want it to be the best rock band in the world. Is that crazy or what? Just this pulsing beat that doesn't stop. Hypnotic. Like it was made to be, but got lost in translation throughout the years.